Good morning again.
Morning.
That's pretty weak. We're halfway through the service. Good morning.
Morning.
Much better, much better. I'm going to need to make sure everything's on here. We're going to be continuing in a little bit of the Lord's Prayer, actually not directly in the Lord's Prayer, but the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. At this point in my spiritual journey, I just believe this is one of the most important concepts that we understand. Is how the Holy Spirit desires to come and fill us and empower us to accomplish what He desires. As we begin, this is our verse for the year that we've been focusing on. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus as He began His ministry. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then at the end of Jesus' ministry, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And now this math symbol that several people thank me for this math symbol. I know we have some math people in here. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord is on us, because He has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim, He has sent us to proclaim, to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm going to back that up. Would you please read this with me? And I'm going to have us read this till we're sick of it. Because it's true. It's true. It's true. We are God's chosen ones to get the good news of Jesus Christ out. So everyone, please join with me. The Spirit, because He has anointed us to preach good news to the poor, He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Here's the truth. We have the cure. Is this world sick? How many here enjoy looking at the news? This world is getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and we have the cure. Because the cure is... Would you please say that again with enthusiasm? The cure is
Jesus.
Jesus is the cure. And how does this happen? It happens by each one of us walking in intimacy with Him and inviting others to simply join us in the intimacy, to join us in that walk of intimacy with Him. That's how it's going to happen. Now, homework. Last week's table talk, either I forgot or was excellent. There's no in between. It's kind of like, are you pregnant or not? Okay, there's no tweeners in this one. So look at the person next to you and either smiley face or frowny face. Okay. Prayer. Again, you've seen these. I've switched what words to fill in. Prayer is a mystery. Prayer is a mystery. I don't fully understand it. One day we will fully understand it in heaven, but right now we don't understand it. Prayer is not magic. There's not some magic formula if you say the right words or put something in someone's name. Prayer is not magic. Prayer is not my wish list. Just think about the last time you prayed. How much of it really was a wish list? Prayer isn't, God is not Santa Claus. And He's not your concierge. Okay? Did you join His team or did He join your team when you prayed to receive Him as Lord and Savior? In fact, Lord and Savior kind of solves it, doesn't it? If you know Jesus Christ, you are a servant. Everyone please say servant.
Servant.
Everyone please say that again.
Servant.
Everyone say it one more time.
Servant.
Now, everyone in this room who has prayed to receive Jesus Christ is either a prince or a princess. But at the same time, we are a servant because He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our Lord and our Savior. Fundamentally, basically, prayer is one thing. It's talking to God from your heart. That's all it is. It's talking to God from your heart. The thief on the cross simply said, please remember me in your kingdom. Please remember me. That's all he said. And God honored it because God looks at the heart. I don't care how fancy. I grew up in the church. I've been in the church 59 years and 9 months. Everyone got that? 59-9. And I don't know how many times someone would get up in church and they'd have this special language for prayer and Holy Spirit, you know, and they'd go on and on. You guys that are grinning, you know what I'm talking about. Look, I don't want to fool with their prayer, but prayer is simply talking to God from your heart. There's no special way to do it. It's heart to heart. It's your heart to his heart. Followers of Jesus pray to our Father in heaven in Jesus' name and authority and empowered by the Holy Spirit. What do we mean by empowered by the Holy Spirit? We're going to camp on this for a little while, okay? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus made a promise in John 14, 16 and 17. I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The world can't accept the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is the triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit. They can't know him. They have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. The moment you pray to receive Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 1, when you believe and put your trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. He is the down payment. Anyone bought anything big lately? No one? You put a down payment down, right? You put earnest money down. I don't know what you call it here. You put money down. That's the promise. That's the guarantee that you're going to get the whole thing, right? Because if you just walk away, you lose your earnest money, right? Well, the scripture says in Ephesians 1:14 that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee ensuring that we've got the down payment. That, you know, right now I'm not born again totally yet. I'm not saved totally yet. I'm not healed totally yet. Lynette is not healed totally yet. Lynette is not fully redeemed yet. You know when all that happens? Resurrection morning. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I have been saved, I'm being saved, I will be saved. We live in an all, this is all free, it's not in your notes, so don't even look there. I have been saved. It's rooted and based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. I am being saved. He is working in me, and I shall be saved. And Hebrews 11 says that no one will receive everything until everyone receives it all together. The glorious resurrection morning. Lynette is in the presence of the Father right now. For those who do not know, Lynette is my precious wife of 34 years, and she passed away back in October. And she, in spirit, she's with the Lord right now. And I rejoice over that. But she does not have her glorified body yet. Our complete redemption is when we receive our glorified body. When I don't have to put up with this fat, failing, ugly body. I'm going to get a new one. That has no knee pain. That can bench 300 pounds with ease. Because I can't do it right now. It'll walk through walls. Ooh. How do we know that? Because Jesus, in his resurrected body, he just walked through walls. He ate food. He didn't have to eat food, but he could eat food. He took many days proving that he was alive. They didn't think he was alive. He was alive. He was fully alive. He had a glorified body. And one day, in the glorious resurrection, when Jesus returns next, we will all receive a glorified body. And that is when our redemption is complete. That is when our healing will be complete. And not until then. So I'm a work in process. And so are you. As my dad would say, you're a piece of work, son. But we have that hope. Someone this morning even said, well, there's no tears in heaven. Technically, right now, there are tears in heaven. There are tears in heaven. Please read it carefully. There are tears in heaven. In fact, it says, after the great white throne of judgment. And the great white throne of judgment is when all the lost, when death and Hades will give up their dead, and then the sheep go on
right.
Go to the right, the others go to the left. You know, left or right, I get them mixed up. So the sheep are over there. All those born again are here and will receive their glorified bodies. And all the others who are going to be cast into the eternal lake of fire, and we will be weeping and sorrowful for the people who are not coming to heaven with us. And then God wipes away all the tears. So that when we enter eternity in the new heaven and the new earth, we will not have tears then. There will be no more sorrow, no more any of that. Does that make sense? It's what the Bible says. The world cannot know the Holy Spirit. Only those who have been born again can understand and receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come. Here's Acts 1, 1 through 3. It's here. You can look it up in your Bibles. After his suffering, he, Jesus, showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He ate food. Come touch me. Come feel my hands through my side. He did all this stuff. He was there 40 more days after he was resurrected. 40 more days proving I'm alive. I'm alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Everyone get that? So for 40 days, he's saying, he's proving that he is risen, that he is alive, that he has a physical body. It's a glorified body. It's physical. It's spiritual. You can touch it. He could taste food. He could eat food. He could eat all the food he wanted. Wouldn't get fat. Won't that be nice? And then he said, on an occasion, John baptized you with water. That was a baptism of repentance. But in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wait. Why did Jesus tell him to wait? How did Peter do without the filling of the Holy Spirit? Man, he tried, didn't he? He tried. But that boy ate sandal leather every other day. Didn't he? I mean, I give him an A+ for trying. Peter was constantly, he was going, yeah, Lord, I'm out. I'm with you. And then he fell flat on his face time after time after time. Anyone here feel like Peter? I remember after one message, some little lady, she wasn't happy with the message. You're just like Peter. And I said, thank you. Thank you. What a compliment. Peter was gung-ho. He wanted to do it. He was the volunteer to do it. But without the Holy Spirit in his life, he kept failing. He kept eating sandal leather over and over and over. But after the Holy Spirit came upon him, good googamooga. I don't even know what that means, but that's what we said growing up. Man, a metamorphosis. He's a different person. He's unstoppable. So wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of Jesus' promise, just a chapter later, just a little bit later, 10 days later, when the day of Pentecost came, that means 50 days after, came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them, the 12 apostles. And there could have even been more there. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Don't miss this. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So there are times in the scriptures that he said, in a few days, you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit. When that happened, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit are interchangeable in these two passages. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus said. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Did these guys know how to speak all these languages? Did Peter? So Pentecost was the fulfillment of a prophecy from Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized within the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Technically, you hear this regularly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Technically, that's the wrong preposition. Technically, Scripture doesn't call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit. I think there's been some confusion in our church at times over this very issue. Many times we'll say, have you been baptized of the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Technically, in the New Testament, it says baptism in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think that there's some misunderstanding when it comes to that. That is what the Scripture says. Speaking in other tongues. This is another point of confusion sometimes. The foreigners that were present that day at Pentecost, they're from all other different countries, small countries. They spoke different languages. They all heard in their own language. Now, I was preparing to be an international worker, a missionary, and I prayed for the gift of tongues, man. I didn't want to study another language. Give me the gift of tongues so I can just speak their language. Como está? Muy bien, de nada. That's about it. No, I can. Donde está el baño? That's the only one I know. And I just asked, where's the bathroom? That's about all I know. but what happened? So I have not been blessed of God with the speaking in tongues. But on this occasion, they spoke in tongues so that the people that were there from all these other small countries heard in their own language, and it was proof that this was God. This was God. Did the Lord ever use things like that to prove that it was God before? What about Moses? What shall I say when they tell me who sent me? Tell them the I am. And by the way, take your staff with you, because your staff, you're going to perform many miracles to prove that I sent you. You know what one of the greatest proofs in your life is that you're a believer? The Holy Spirit flowing through you. And what's one of the biggest church problems in our whole culture right now? Because most Christians, in my estimation, are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And most Christians look just like everyone else. Do you know what I'm talking about? How about divorce rate? Any difference between in the church and outside the church? I'm not picking on that. But is there any difference? Hey, when I was in a different country, and the president of that country came to me, I was representing the CNMA of the USA, and when I was there, the president of that country came up to me and said, we're just ashamed. I'm like, about what? Well, we've been in existence as a CNMA of this country, I'm not going to say what country it was, for 25 years. And we just had our first divorce, and we're embarrassed about it. I said, what? Yeah, we've been in existence for 25 years. And we have X amount of churches and X amount of people. And we've just experienced our first divorce, and we're ashamed of it. What's it like in America? I said, please don't ask me that. How about incest? Same inside the church and outside the church. Should that ever happen? Should that ever happen? I'm a dad. In the flesh, I want to help you to meet Jesus right now. And I don't care who hears that. In the flesh. In the spirit, I'll pray for you. And I'll ask God to grant you repentance. That should never, ever, ever, ever happen. And yet there is almost no statistical difference between the church of Jesus Christ and the world. Murder. Same thing. Family abuse, spousal abuse. There's almost no difference. Why? 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 I believe the reason is because we don't have, we're like Peter prior to Pentecost. We try to do the right thing. We're stuck in Romans 7. The very thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The thing I don't want to do, I do. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise be, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the filling of the Holy Spirit. That was the difference between Peter before Pentecost and after Pentecost. After Pentecost, Peter was this amazing spokesman, fearless for the gospel, the Holy Spirit flowing through him, healings, miracles, all kinds of things going on. Proof that there was something different. And what was the difference? The Holy Spirit filled him and flowed out of him and splashed onto other people. Remember, he's walking to the temple. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. I know that's King James. Rise up and walk. That lame person wanted money. He got healed because the Holy Spirit was flowing through Peter and John. I don't believe the Christian life is possible, the true Christ-like life is possible, apart from the Spirit of the living God. Because it says, as the Spirit enabled them, as the Spirit empowered them, as the Spirit flowed through them. And if you're stuck in your Christian walk, the Holy Spirit is part of the solution. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one and done thing. It's not a one and done thing. You receive the Holy Spirit when you pray to receive Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 is clear about that. So you receive the Holy Spirit. By the way, are you guys hearing the Holy Spirit? I was juiced this week because three different people came to me and said, who had been struggling with hearing the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit will reveal himself to each one of us slightly differently because he's a person meeting a person. And so he'll speak to each one of us slightly differently. One person came to me. I went out in my yard and I started working my yard work. How much fun is that? Like, I'm planting new grass just so I can mow more. How much sense does that make? So he's out there starting to work in his garden, and he said, I just heard this little voice said, call this person up. He said, normally, I just ignore it and keep doing it and say, I'll do it later. And then I forget all about it. So he just put the spade down, went inside, called the person, and the person was overjoyed. He sent me an email saying, you just can't believe how cool it was. I was just an encouragement to the person. And another person was telling me this week that they had been studying some things and thoughts, insights came to them. And they realized that wasn't them, that was the Holy Spirit. Man, I plagiarized for years. For years, I thought those insights that I had received were mine. I've begged for forgiveness for being a plagiarizer. What's the right word there? Plagiarist? I don't know what it is. What is it? Plagiarizing. I did it, whatever the word is. I've asked forgiveness. No. The Holy Spirit, sometimes, you know, he's met me in dreams before. He might meet you in a dream. He may give you an insight, but I promise you, how many times you've been driving down the road and you heard your conscience speaking to you? He may even been saying, slow down. As you know, at times I ignore those to my shame and detriment, but he'll whisper and he'll say, contact so-and-so. I told you guys the story when I was in college, and I know it's a long time ago, but it's how stupid I was back then. My Greek professor, repetition penetrates the dullest of mind, so I would literally stay up 24 hours straight, and he would say, the exam is on Colossians chapter 3. I would memorize in Greek the entire chapter. And then I'd only get a B on the final. So I'm memorizing this chapter, and I heard the Holy Spirit whisper, go visit so-and-so. I think it was Reverend B.B. Brown that led me to the Lord. I'm not totally certain, but I heard that his widow was in the hospital. Now, she's a believer. She's born again. She's saved. And the Lord told me, go visit her in the hospital. I can't. I've got an exam tomorrow. I got to study. Told me again. I can't. I'll go tomorrow first thing. I'll go tomorrow first thing right after the test. So being the knucklehead that I was and am sometimes, when did I go? After the exam. Too late. I went right up to the hospital. Oh, she passed in the middle of the night. Now, she's in heaven. I know she's in heaven. But I could have been a servant there saying thank you to encourage her. And I missed the opportunity. I don't want you, I don't want all y'all to miss any of those opportunities. Because I promise you, if you are born again, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you said, Father, please forgive me for my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Jesus, please come into my life. If you have done that, I promise you, the Holy Spirit is within you and the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you. But sometimes we either let sin creep in, or if Satan can't get us stuck in sin, he'll just get us busy. And if we're so busy that we can't hear his voice, or when we hear it, can't do it, I'm so busy. I had one head elder that used to say at the end of each of our elders' prayer meetings in the morning, jokingly he'd say, Lord, you know my agenda's pretty full, don't mess it up. He'd say that teasingly to remind us. Don't get so busy that you can't hear his voice or you ignore his voice. And you guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? Who here is not busy? I see no one raise your hand because you're afraid that if you tell me you're not busy, I'll come and I'll give you stuff to do. Please, please, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be being faithful. filled. It's not a one and done. It's a continual thing that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us and fill us and fill us to overflowing so that when others look at us, they see Jesus. Remember Peter, the one that kept sticking his sandal in his mouth. When he's arrested, they're beaten and flogged and said, don't preach in the name of Jesus. What'd they do? They went out and started preaching again in the name of Jesus. They came before them again. And they said, who shall we obey, God or you turkeys? That's liberal translation. And then the Sanhedrin, they all got together and they're talking about these guys. And man, these are ordinary people. These men are uneducated. They're fishermen and, good grief, tax collectors. What is this? And then they say, but they spent time with Jesus. And by the way, Jesus is the one that said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But Jesus said of himself, the Son can do nothing by himself. Why was Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because he needed the Holy Spirit to fill him, because it was the Holy Spirit flowing through him. It was him hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit that led him to pray all night, that said, heal that person, that said, the woman at the well, as she's standing there, that said, Zacchaeus, I must go to your house today. It was the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said he could do nothing. Why did he have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live a victorious Christian life. If you're not living a victorious Christian life, it's probably because the Holy Spirit is lacking. And it's not because he is lacking. It's because we're not saying, yes, come in. It's probably because either you're stuck in sin or you're so busy with life that we don't give him any room. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Anyone have any weaknesses? Anyone have any brownies and ice cream weaknesses? We don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. In Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and in all Samaria. All Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I didn't do so well in reading, okay? English was not my top thing. These are some of my favorite verses. Favorite verses. Luke 11:11-13. It's real easy to remember. Luke 11:11-13. Everyone say that after me. Luke 11:11. Luke 11:11. Luke 11:11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? I kind of think that'd be kind of funny. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. Nah, that's not so funny. My mom was telling me a story about she was wrestling with a black snake and brought it in the house to show my father. He's in the recliner and she puts it right by his head. Oh, honey. Hey, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you're evil, in comparison to God the Father, I am evil. On my best day, my righteousness is as filthy rags, scriptures say. So if you then, though you're evil in comparison to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? This is a simple message. How much more will the Father in heaven give to us the Holy Spirit when we ask? I don't know about you, but I need more of the Holy Spirit, or rather, the Holy Spirit needs more of Jeff. Because Jeff gets so busy. And Jeff at times will choose brownies and ice cream over intimacy. Sin. Sin. Anyone with me? I honestly believe busyness is one of the biggest issues. We can become so busy, even doing good things for family and friends, and even good things for God, we can be so busy doing for Him that we neglect intimacy with Him. And so this morning, I just want to ask for more. How about you? I just want to ask for more. How about you? Our table talk today. Why do you think it was important for the disciples to wait for the filling / baptism? And that should be in the Holy Spirit. See, I made the mistake. In the Holy Spirit. How important is the filling baptism in the Holy Spirit for believers today? How important is it for us? And now, can we just ask? Let's ask. Let's just ask. James says, you have not because you ask not. You ask not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lusts. So if we have wrong motives, our prayers won't be answered. Please, let's just ask. I'm ready to beg. Would you join me? Oh, Father in heaven, please, please, please fill me, fill us newly and freshly with the promised Holy Spirit. If I'm being totally honest, I look at Peter and I'm like, Peter, can't you see it? It's plain as the nose on your face. Here's the before Peter and here's the after Peter, after the Holy Spirit's filling. Who wouldn't want to live being filled with the Holy Spirit? And yet, Father, I do it every day. I get so busy. Or I choose the pleasures of sin for a season. Please forgive me for my busyness. Please forgive me for my choosing sin. Please. Please. Please forgive me and forgive us. And we simply take you at your word. Abba, Father, please fill us to overflowing with the promised Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, as you come, if there's anything in our lives, if there's sin, if there's busyness, whatever it is, if we're holding on to unforgiveness or bitterness, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, please reveal whatever might be hindering you in our lives. Please. Please, Holy Spirit, in this next moment or two of silence, please so work in our hearts that you prepare us to remember and to celebrate communion together. Because the Apostle Paul said, let a person examine themselves. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to examine our hearts, minds, and reveal to us anything that we need to confess, that we need to acknowledge and confess and ask forgiveness for. Please, Holy Spirit, in this quietness, in the stillness of this place, being still before you, please reveal anything you desire.